either because of the weather or because we were too busy to get any fishing done. So I was invited to come back, but I've been fairly involved with the church in Brisbane for all of that period of time, but I retired for the fourth time on the 24th of March, and now I have a little bit of time. And I was invited to come up and do some fishing, and went out with Aaron yesterday, and we had a great day out, and it was just wonderful. But I was invited to share with you this morning, and that's good too. And John and Nick have been, I understand, going through the book of Philippians. So I thought, oh, well, that's a good place to go. You know, Paul's letter to the Philippians is quite a personal book. Actually, it's a personal letter that tells us more about the Apostle Paul than any other. It's also a very practical letter. It deals with many everyday situations that we all face in life. But most of all, Philippians is a positive book. You know that word joy or rejoice or be glad? It's used 17 different times in this book. And so it's a positive letter. You know, if any of us are feeling down, discouraged, depressed or defeated, it seems to me like we could do with a good dose of this particular letter. Now I want you to notice right from the outset that Paul begins by talking about people. And people are important because, you see, if our relationships become strained, life can become quite difficult. If we have problems with people, it kills the joy in our life. And so this morning, I'd like us to consider how we might go about enjoying the people in our lives. You know, it's been said that the number one characteristic of an effective leader is that they enjoy other people. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you enjoy the people around you? You know, the ones you work with, the person you're married to, the people who make up your family. You know, we're instructed in Ecclesiastes 9:9 to enjoy life with your wife whom you love. But the reality is that some marriages are more a matter of endurance rather than enjoyment. And too often, we don't really enjoy the people in our lives, we simply tolerate them. So what does it take then to enjoy the people in our lives? Well, in this particular passage, Paul deals with four ways that we can learn to enjoy the people in our lives, regardless of the differences and hang-ups or problems that we might have with them. In verse 3, he commences with a prayer that indicates the first step towards enjoying the people in our lives is to really be grateful to God, for the good in them. In verse 3, he prays, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Now, Paul's showing us here that he likes to remember the good things about people, the positive experiences. He chooses to focus on the good times that they've had together. You know, when others come to mind for us, what do we remember most about them? The problems that we've had with them, or the happy times we've enjoyed together? Paul says, look, be grateful for the good in people. Now, when Paul said this, he had not had too easy a time in Philippi. In fact, in Acts 16, Luke gives us the background to the experience that he had here. He planted this church. But when he first went there, he was illegally arrested, whipped, humiliated, thrown into prison. And while he was in prison, there was an earthquake, and later he was asked to leave town. Paul didn't have an easy time in Philippi. And yet, when he writes back to them, he says, "I thank God every time I remember you. I think of the positive things." Now, Paul could easily have dwelt on the negatives, the painful experiences, but rather he chose to focus on the things for which he could be grateful. That was a choice that he made. You know, maybe in our past we've been hurt by a parent or a partner or somebody else. We're still holding on to that hurt. And as a result, we're finding it difficult to really enjoy them today because we're still focusing on the negatives. The fact is that pleasant memories are a choice. And we have a choice as to what we're going to remember about the past. And therefore, if we want to enjoy people, the first lesson is remember the best and forget the rest. Remember the best and forget the rest. Now, I'm not suggesting here that we deny the hurts that we've experienced in life or that we excuse the weaknesses in other people, because that would be psychologically unhealthy. But what I am saying is that we need to focus on the good and choose to emphasise the strength in others. You know, have you ever heard a wife say, well, he's a good man, but... Whenever there's a but, the emphasis, you see, is on the negative, not on the positive. We need to be thankful for what we have. You see, Mr. or Mrs. Perfect just don't exist. Now, one of the good things that Paul appreciated was people's loyalty. In verse 5, he says, you have helped me from the very first day until now. Paul says, you stuck with me and supported my ministry over and over again. You've sent generous offerings. You've really been loyal to me. You know, I want to ask you, who's been really loyal to you in your life? A friend? A partner? Someone at work? Maybe they didn't do anything really spectacular, but time and again, when you really needed them, they were there. Even when you were a bit of a pain and you were going through this or that crisis, they sort of stuck with you. And it's important that we appreciate that. You know, the fact is that they haven't let you down, even though they may well have had plenty of good reasons for doing so. Paul says, if you want to enjoy others, you must focus on their strengths and not on their weaknesses. Now, with some people, that takes a fair deal of creativity. But the truth is that we can generally find something good in everybody if we look hard enough for it. The second thing Paul indicates, if we want to enjoy the people in our lives, is to practice positive praying. Verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. I mean, how would you like someone like the Apostle Paul praying for you every day? Wouldn't that encourage you? The second lesson that Paul has for us here is this. The quickest way to change a relationship from negative to positive is to start thanking God in prayer for people. What will that do? Well, it'll do two things. It'll change our attitude, and it may very well change them as well. And so I encourage you to try this. Take that person who really irritates you and start thanking God for them and watch what happens. You know, we've been told about the value of positive thinking. But positive praying is even more powerful than positive thinking. Paul says, I always pray with joy for you. He says, it's not an ordeal, it's a joy. You know, it's been said that people may resist our advice and spurn our appeals, reject our suggestions, but they are powerless against our prayers. And so we need to practice positive praying. You know, when somebody says, I'll pray for you, what do we actually pray for them? You know, most of us are reasonably good at praying in a crisis. You know, Lord, help me get through this surgery or through this test at school or at work. But what do we pray for people in normal circumstances? Do we simply say, God bless them? But what does that mean? It's fairly general. And the more specific we are in prayer, the more specific are the answers that we're going to receive. And Paul here spells out pretty specifically what he's praying for people in verses 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, there are four things that he's praying for other people. And if we pray these things for the people in our lives, we can know that these are prayers that will always be favourably received by the Lord in heaven, because they're the kind of things that God wants us to pray for. Pray that that person may grow in love, make wise choices, do the right things, and live for God's glory. There are four things that we can pray for anybody and know that we're praying God's desire for that person. And so Paul says, if you want to enjoy the people in your life, be grateful for the good in them and practice positive praying. And another reason Paul enjoyed the people in his life was because he looked at their future rather than at their past. He saw the potential, and therefore he was patient with their progress. Verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's saying what God started in your life at salvation, he is working to complete. Now, mankind is a great starter, but often not such a good finisher. People leave unfinished symphonies, buildings, books, projects. But the Bible says that God always finishes what he starts. He doesn't make an unfinished flower. He puts the finishing touches on everything that he does, and he says that's good. And the Bible says that when Jesus Christ begins working in our life, he plans to complete what he has started, in spite of the hang-ups or faults or negative choices or all of the circumstances that we may face. God plans to finish what he started in our lives if we allow him to do that. And the Bible says that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to become just like the Lord Jesus, because that's his goal. And so lesson three is, God is not finished with people yet. Maybe we all should wear little signs around our necks that say, under construction. And so we need to be patient with people's progress, to enjoy people. We must allow for growth and development. You know, the Apostle Paul could say, I thank God that I'm not the man I used to be, but I also thank God that I'm not the man I'm going to be, because I'm growing and changing. And if you're not too fond of me at the moment, just wait a little while, because I'm getting better. If we want to enjoy people, we have to learn to be patient with their progress, because what God begins, he's promised to complete. Now let's try to apply that for a moment. It means that if we want to enjoy our marriage, we need to learn to enjoy our partner right now while allowing for their growth and development. You know, not, you know, when my wife gets her act together, then I'll enjoy her. Or when my husband does this or this or this, then I'll enjoy him. Because we won't. Because the moment that they meet that condition, we'll have another one for them. We have to learn to enjoy people where they are right now. Parents, if we're going to enjoy our kids, we have to learn to enjoy them in the process while they're growing, even though they're imperfect. Because there's no such thing as a perfect child, or a perfect adult for that matter. And if we demand perfection of the people in our lives in order to enjoy them, we're going to be miserable for the rest of our lives, because nobody's perfect. And Paul says, I enjoy these Philippians. Why? Because I choose to ignore the negative things and focus on the positive things. And I'm grateful for the good that has happened in their lives, and I'm practicing positive praying, and I pray with joy, and I pray specific things in their lives. And if we want something to change our attitude, we need to start praying for that person who irritates us at work, and start praying for that partner or that child, and see what happens to our attitude. And then we need to be patient with their progress, because life's a matter of growth. The Christian life is a process. We are not instantly mature from the moment of new birth, and therefore to enjoy people, we have to choose to enjoy them in the process and not just when they've arrived. Notice what Paul says in verse 6. He says, being confident. You see, Paul believed in God's power to change human personality. He believed that no person was hopeless. You'd never hear him saying, you know, my husband will never change, or my kids are worthless, they're never going to amount to anything, or my boss is never going to be any different, he'll never become a Christian. Who says? Paul believed in the power of God to change human personality. He never gave up on people. And this is a great promise of God. And as parents, we need to claim it for our kids. And as husbands and wives, we need to claim it for our partners. And for as Christians, we need to claim it for ourselves. God, I thank you that you have started something in my life, and no matter how much I muck it up, you're going to seek continually to help bring it to completion. He says, being confident. What Paul's talking about here, he's talking about faith. And there's tremendous power in faith, because we are shaped by our expectations. We tend to live up to what others expect of us, and other people tend to live up to what they think we expect of them. So, what do we expect out of our marriage, for example? If you say not much, then that's what we'll get. The common mistake many people make, and this is why they often don't enjoy the people around them, is that they judge others by how far they still have to go rather than how far they've come. And Christians can be amongst the worst offenders. And they look at somebody and they say, how could that person possibly be a Christian? They've got this habit or that habit. So what about the change that's taken place since Christ came into that person's life? They've been growing and developing. You see, in order to enjoy others, we need to focus on how far they've come. And then if we want to enjoy people, we need to love them from the heart. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. You know, if people are not on our heart, they are generally getting on our nerves. Do you know the reason why many marriages are crumbling? It's often because couples are reacting to each other from their minds rather than their hearts. From a logical viewpoint rather than a heartfelt viewpoint. You know, a husband or a wife comes in and shares a feeling, and if the other's reaction is from their mind and they say things like, now you shouldn't feel like that, it's illogical. Let me give you 5 good reasons why you shouldn't feel that way. Not going there. You know, it may not go over so well. You know, when your wife says, I feel depressed, then she's depressed. Her feelings are legitimate. And so it's important to listen to her. And wives, when your husband says, I don't think that this is the right thing to do, or I feel we ought to do it maybe this way, you need to listen to him. You see, loving from the heart, he is the hurt or the desire behind the words. And heart love begins with understanding, grasping why the other person feels or thinks the way they do. That person at work, why do they behave like they do? Maybe we don't have any idea of the environment in which they had grown up. Maybe they are so much better than they used to be 10 years ago. You see, hearing the hurt, looking for the problems, understanding what makes them tick, makes it much easier for us to love them. Often the presenting issue isn't the real issue. It's important to try to understand the moods in the people closest to us, why they act and react the way that they do. For as someone has said, if you care, you will be aware. Heart love starts with understanding. And so how do we get understanding? Well, we get it by asking questions and then listening. The most important complaint and common complaint between couples is he or she doesn't understand me. What a comfort it is to have somebody who really understands us. So how do we go about loving those people who, even when we understand them, are just plain unlovable? Look at verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It is an intensive love that enables us to love even the unlovely. This is not a natural kind of love. It's a supernatural kind of love. And that's why Paul says, it's not from myself. It's not that I'm such a great guy. I've got all this capacity. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You see, human love wears out and dries up at times. And with many of us, there's only a certain amount of giving out without response before our love just dries up. Maybe you've been in a relationship like that. You've been saying, well, I have absolutely no feelings for that person. I don't love them anymore. That happens to many people in relationship because human love dries up under certain circumstances. And the only kind of love that lasts in spite of heartache and difficulty and tough circumstances is God's love. That is the affection of Christ Jesus. Romans 5:5. God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of his Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. What's Paul saying? He's saying that God's love is not something that we have to work up. You know, I'm going to love that person even if it kills me. It's something that's poured out into our lives by the Holy Spirit as we let him live in us on a daily basis. God's love is something that God does in and through us. It's not something that we have to generate. And so what's the last lesson here? Lesson 4 is the secret of enjoying the people in our life is to be filled with God's love on an ongoing basis. And the way we do that is by being grateful and praying for those around us. And one of the most practical ways of doing that is making a prayer list and writing it down, the people in your life and the specific requests that you have for each of them. And whenever somebody comes to mind, to shoot up a prayer as you're driving along the road, saying, God, I pray that they'll make wise decisions today. You know, life's just too short not to enjoy the people in our lives. And if we don't learn to enjoy the people that God has placed around us, we're not going to be very happy. And so, as Paul begins this great book about joy and begins to deal with some of the common killjoys, it begins by talking about people, because people are the ones who are going to rob us of the joy unless we learn how to respond to them in the way that Jesus did. So I want to ask you as we close, who do you need to be thankful for? In other words, who have you taken for granted in your life and failed to appropriately value and appreciate? Are you praying for those around you every day? Are you praying for the practical things that Paul illustrated for us here? Who do you need to be patient with? Someone at work, your kids and their progress? And then, who do you need to start loving from the heart rather than from the head? You know, and the Lord knows. Let's pray. As we bow before the Lord this morning, maybe he's brought someone specifically to your mind. Someone whom you have not enjoyed. Maybe in your wider family. Maybe at work. A relative, an in-law. And you just don't enjoy them. You may tolerate them. Or you maybe don't even do that. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, help me to begin enjoying the people in my life. Help me to be grateful for the good in people. Help me to remember the best and forget the rest. To focus on strengths rather than weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for those who have been loyal to me when things have been really tough. Help me to practice positive praying and to be patient with others' progress. Help me to realise that you're not finished with them yet. Help me not to look at how far they have to go, but rather how far they've come. Help me to expect the best and to allow for growth. But most of all, Father, help me to love people as you love them, from the heart. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, there's a copy of my message in the foyer, and you're welcome to take one.